what does the word Armageddon mean? And we're going to talk about that in our limited time, if I can find my little toy here. You notice, first of all, it's not called the battle. It's called a campaign. Now, I acknowledge today that most all of my notes come from a great Bible teacher named Chuck Missler, an incredibly intelligent man, a thorough student of the Word of God, and one who has put together 9 steps that's involved in the campaign of Armageddon. Now, where does the word Armageddon come from? It means Hill of Megiddo. Now, if you all could have a map, and I found some maps, but I couldn't find a map that really gave me what I wanted. Megiddo is a mound today. It's had at least 21 cities build on it through the years. Build on it, destroyed, build on it, destroyed. They found 21 different layers of occupation on the hill of Megiddo. Those of you that have visited Israel, I'm sure that you were taken to see the ruins of Megiddo. And you know that when you stand on the ruins of Megiddo, this ancient city that's torn down and destroyed, you look east out over a huge plain. And it has several names. It has the plain of Megiddo. It is called the Valley of Jezreel or the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It is actually a huge plain, and great men of the past, such as Napoleon, have noted that what a great place to assemble armies for battle. And that's where the term Armageddon comes from. The plain of Megiddo, or the hill of Megiddo. Now, I want you to turn with me this morning before I start putting notes on the board, and all my notes are going to be on the board. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. If you have a Bible, I hope it's limber. Now, the reason I say I hope it's limber is because we're going to be going all the way from Isaiah to Revelation, back and forth and through all the minor prophets, and you're going to get lost, and so am I, but I'm going to try this morning to at least lay down for you in 15 minutes what the campaign of Armageddon's about. I probably will not finish, seeing as how we've already been on this passage for 2 months now. And you say, what are we doing anyway? Well, we are explaining the church's doctrinal statement. And the last point is about prophecy. And it's outlined there, and I don't have a copy of it this morning. Some of you have it in your Bible, and good for you. I'm glad you do. But Isaiah 61, now I've given you plenty of time to find it, okay? The latter part of verse 2 is the part that Jesus did not quote in Luke chapter 4. He went into the synagogue in Nazareth. They gave him the scroll of Isaiah to read. He unrolled the scroll to Isaiah 61, and he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus stopped at that point, rolled the scroll up, and handed it to the person in charge of the scroll. He did not finish that passage. Why? Because it did not describe his ministry at that point. What it did describe at this point is what will be his coming ministry, and you and I understand that, the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus didn't read that part. Why? Because he did not come for vengeance. What did he say? He said the Son of Man is come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. That was his ministry back in 30 AD. But his ministry in 2017 or 18 or 19 or 20 or whenever this will take place, that ministry is one of vengeance. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And that's what we're going to introduce. First of all, the campaign of Armageddon is the day of vengeance. The assembling of a great army. And turn there, you see the references, they pop up on the screen. Try to find them as quick as possible. We read this passage last Sunday morning. The bowl judgments or the vial judgments or the test tube judgments, however you want to describe them. And we found out that in verse 16 of chapter 16 of Revelation, it says they gathered them together to a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. Now, who gets gathered there? Well, let me go back to verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Now, the river Euphrates runs pretty much northwest to southeast. It runs from up here in the mountains of Turkey and Syria, and it runs all the way down through the plain, the Fertile Crescent, as it was called in school when you and I went there, and finally enters into the Persian Gulf, in a place that we used to know about, Kuwait. That's today. Now, God says this, on the north and the east side of the river is Persia, or today it's called Iran. And all of those funny names that I had on the screen last week, like Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan and Afghanistan and Pakistan, all of those are going to join together with Iran, Persia, and they are going to come to this great valley in northern Israel called the Valley of Megiddo or Armageddon. Now look at verse 12 and I'll read on down. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There is your unholy trinity. And each one of these characters, beast number one, anti-God, beast number two, anti-Christ, and then Satan, make up the unholy or the demonic trinity. And these frogs are pictures of demons that are controlling these individuals. For they are the spirit of demons. That's what it says, verse 14. Performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. What are they after? They're after somehow to destroy God, and God to them is a little nation on the seacoast of the Mediterranean called what? Israel. Israel. Now here's what God says, verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. In other words, I'm going to sneak up on these rascals. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. God says, be ready for me to come. He is not talking about the rapture of the church. That took place 7 years prior to this. We are gone. We disappeared back in chapter 4, verse 1. If you are a student of Revelation, you know that chapter 4, verse 1 is talking about the rapture of the church. In the words of John the Apostle, he said, I was caught up. Boom. That's a picture of the church. He's a representative of the church in that passage. Now we are coming to the end of those 7 years of terrible time upon the earth. The bowl judgments happen one right after the other at the very end of the 7 year tribulation period. Verse 17, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightning. There was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now, let me tell you, there have been some incredibly huge earthquakes on this planet. Most of them happened under the water during Noah's flood. Some of them happened following the flood that enabled the continental shifts to move around and to clash into one another, as we saw depicted in a video that we were looking at during Seasoned Saints. But I want you to go back with me to Joel chapter 3. You say, where's Joel? Well, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So he's right there, not far from Daniel. You say, well, where's Daniel? Well, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Get the picture? You said, I've never been that part of my Bible before. Well, you will be if you're following along. And we're going to be done here in just a few minutes. We're not going to finish this by any stretch. But Joel chapter 3 and verses 9 to 11. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. Now, you've heard of the opposite verse, haven't you? Beat your swords into plowshares. That's the millennium. This is the Battle of Armageddon. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Who's bringing all of these armies together? Well, isn't it interesting? In Revelation, we read that it was the demons that come out of the mouth of the Antichrist and the Antigod and Satan. And yet in Joel, we read it's God himself that's doing it. You know what that proves? God is in control. He lets Satan do his thing, but somehow God twists and manipulates. God is the master puppeteer. And Satan and all of his henchmen who think they are big stuff and they are running the world, God says, yeah, you are, but you're accomplishing my purpose. And you just remember, God is in control. Even the timing of every event in your life and in my life. Now, you be careful. Don't you blame God. You're not allowed to blame God, but you got to know that God is in control. It's a conundrum, isn't it? It just doesn't seem to balance. Well, remember, the longer the arms on the teeter-totter, the better it balances. We've all watched tightrope walkers, either in the circus or on TV in the circus. And one thing you remember about the pole that they carry when they tightrope walk, it's what? Long. They couldn't do it if it was only 10 feet long. They'd be going like that. But because they got this big long. And so you just let the truth over on this end and the truth over on this end, just let them balance, even though you can't put them together and make them the same. On one end, it says free will. All you who are in need, come to me and I will give you rest. On this side, it says elected before the foundation of the earth. And you say, well, you can't put them together. Well, then don't put them together. Let them balance. let them bounce. The Bible teaches both the free will of man, and it also teaches the sovereignty of God. And in this case, it says, your mighty ones to go down there, O God. Who are the mighty ones that are going to go down with God? Well, we're going to find that out in the week ahead. We're not going to get there today. Remember, I said I have 9 points. We just covered point number 1. Let's bow in prayer.